and joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass? You have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And you fear continually for all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. But I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Colossians chapter 1. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. While Jesus was saying these things to him, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. And when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The man who came to Jesus was a ruler of a synagogue by the name of Jairus. He was a leading figure in his Jewish community because he was in charge of teaching the people about God's word in the law and the prophets. He was in charge of teaching people that there was only one God, and that the Lord alone was not only to be worshipped, but that the one true God alone was also to be sought in every need. The entire teaching of Jairus would have centered on how God loved and rescued his people, no matter what the circumstances. As Isaiah was inspired to write and prophesy, the Lord is going to awake and put on strength as in the ancient days. The Lord was the arm that wounded the spirit of the serpent. Now, the only daughter of Jairus according to St. Mark. There's nothing further that any doctor could do. The schoolbook answers of Jairus would have left a hole precisely when he needed help the most. But there was an answer. The arm of God was being revealed through Jesus. The law and prophets were a great exercise to dabble in and teach for Jairus until life was confronted by death. At the point of losing his daughter, at the point that all earthly help had failed, God's word came to light through Christ Jesus. At the very least, Jairus was grasping at straws and making a last-ditch effort for his daughter's sake by going to Jesus. He had heard that this man was teaching and working miracles just like the prophets that prophesied about the coming Messiah. He had at least an inkling of hope that God was fulfilling his promise and saving by his right arm. And through this hearing, through that hope, Jairus had faith, if even the size of a mustard seed. That's why he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him, begging him to come and lay his hand on his daughter. In the face of an impossible, desperate situation, he dared to hope that God could and would help him. And the Lord does not disappoint. He agrees to go. And even in the going, while on the way, Jesus strengthens the faith of Jairus by healing a woman who was plagued for 12 years with a flow of blood that doctors could not help. Can you imagine the hope built up in Jairus as he sees this take place? His expectations for his daughter must have soared. But as it is reported in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the servants then arrive to their master Jairus and bring him the news that his daughter was dead, that there was no longer any need to bother the teacher. Although there was hope that this teacher might heal a girl near death, how could Jairus have held out any expectation that the dead could be raised? But within the Gospel according to St. Mark, the timing of God is, as to be expected, perfect. For this, at that very moment, this is when Jesus speaks, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." With a simple word, Jesus restored hope. Dying, faltering faith was given new life. Jesus' words are never fluff. They never fall flat. They are never inflated beyond reality. They are always accompanied by power, for power cannot be taken away from them. They are power in and of themselves. No matter how ridiculous they may sound to human reason, you have confessed to their authority. Jesus does what he says, The Lord's word is confirmed in action. The daughter was made well. She was given back to her father alive. Jesus gives hope where all hope had disappeared. He creates and strengthens faith where it is absent or weak. He speaks and it happens. Oh, how important to hear Jesus' words before the tragedies strike, so that they are not discarded as strange and nonsensical when the further hearing does take place, so that they're not rejected when his words are offered. For Jesus has spoken already in Paris and in Japan, and is speaking there right now. Are you ready for your tragedy? Jesus speaks for good. There is, however, a natural human weakness that all of mankind shares through their old Adam. When things go wrong, you are prone to despair. When paychecks get cut, you immediately worry about how you will make things work. When arguments flare, you question your spouse's motives and love. You fear that the relationship might never be the same. When your children fall into sin, you second guess every parental decision that you ever made. When times of loneliness overtake you, you can't see past the darkness that engulfs you for that moment. When your health takes a turn for the worse, or your bodies fail for whatever reason, you become despondent. When times are bad, your emotions tell you that it will always be bad. Human emotions are as fickle as a leaf on the wind. Sin is what causes you to doubt God in his providence, in his goodness, in his power, in his love for you, and even in his mercy. But it's when the doctors, the philosophies, the jobs, the relationships, and you fail that God's word comes to light in Christ Jesus. Why are you here this morning? Why did you get out of bed to come to God's divine service? Is it because you're grasping at straws? Is it because you have a thread of hope like Jairus, that your Lord could or would help you? If so, God be praised. You have heard, and you've been drawn to touch the hem of his garment, and he does to you much better. He takes you by the hand and gives you more than you dare teacher and physician for the living, but a creator and a redeemer and sanctifier for those dead in their sins. His word is not soothing ointment for wounds. It is life-giving and resurrecting for those with a stagnant, lifeless, cold, despairing faith. This is where the miracles help you. They strengthen you in times of doubt. They give you hope when times in your lives seem hopeless and impossible. When the winds of despair blow, recognize them for what they are: temptations and assaults of the devil. When the servants of Jairus came to him to tell him that his daughter was dead, that there was no longer need to bother the teacher, Satan was trying to snuff out the struggling faith of Jairus. That is precisely the time that Jesus speaks up and comforts. Can you imagine how hard the devil and his minions are working in Paris and in Japan right now? Imagine how hard they will work on you. Not yet seen, Jesus promises to help the daughter of Jairus. And then he fulfills his promise and raises the girl from the dead. You do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with your weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as you are, and yet without sin. So, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4. You do not have a God who is unable to sympathize with earthly struggles and trials. You have the one true triune God and a second person of the Trinity, the only begotten Son of the Father, suffered in body, mind, and spirit, just like you do. He was ridiculed, yelled at, misunderstood, despised, lonely, and rejected. He was persecuted, beaten, spit upon, and killed. Yet in all of this, he did not sin nor despair. He knew his end and purpose. He knew that his Father was working good through evil. He knew that by going through such things, they would not be your end. Even though you have to endure them for a time, there is relief. There is refuge. He has already passed through them. He's already overcome them. For the people of Paris, for the people of Japan, for you. Although things in this world can and will assault and attack your bodies and minds, they cannot overcome the spirit that lives within you by God-created faith, the spirit of Christ. St. Paul was inspired to write to such a group of believers in Colossae. He writes, "He has Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Your Lord is more than a teacher. He's more than a physician. He is the creator and sustainer of life. There's no circumstance in your lives that he is unaware of or unable to help. You have a great cloud of witnesses right within the Holy Scriptures of people whom the Lord has helped beyond all human reason. There's no such thing as an impossible situation for your Heavenly Father. He has promised to work for your good. His good doesn't always fall in line with your thinking. In fact, the things of man's thinking, man's mind, are about avoiding crosses and suffering, while the things of God's mind are all about crosses and suffering. Again, God promised to work for your good and in Christ Jesus. He has. The promise is there for you to be received. His words still have power. He still speaks words of comfort and still does miracles. You are here this morning at Jesus' feet. Like Jairus, you have heard and you fall down today and worship, which is to say, you are brought to receive. Like the woman, you have heard and you humbly dare to draw near to touch the hem of his garment. And very much like unto them, he says to you, do not be afraid.